Craig Unger has written extensively about how operatives tied to the Russian mafia successfully used Trump real estate to launder untold millions. This morning, Unger will tell us about his new book, American Kompromat, how the KGB cultivated Donald Trump, and related tales of sex, greed, power, and treachery. After his book, House of Trump, House of Putin, Unger goes farther, unraveling the Russian influence operations that amass the secrets of the richest and most powerful men on earth. Unger is the author of several bestsellers. For 15 years, he was a contributing editor for Vanity Fair, where he covered national security, the Middle East, and other political issues. He's a frequent analyst for MSNBC and other broadcast outlets, and a longtime staffer at New York Magazine. Again, the name of the new book is American Kompromat, and we welcome Craig Unger to the roundtable this morning. Craig, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
We had you on for the last book. So what brought you to this story as far as the KGB cultivation of Donald Trump?
Right. Well, I think unless we know how this began, it will happen again. And there's been one question that's been repeated over and over by countless TV broadcasters. Why is Trump doing everything for Putin? Why is he so nice to the Russians? And you've even had some of the top intelligence officials in the United States, from John Brennan on down, saying that Trump is a Russian asset. But no one has really defined what that means, what really happened. And I went back to the beginning more than 40 years ago, and I started interviewing former KGB agents who were working for the Soviets back then. And I think I really put together something new. This is the first fully, richly detailed narrative of how the KGB cultivated Donald Trump. So that's a big part of the book.
So let's talk about some of those revelations. And I mean, as you say, this goes back decades. So for you, the story begins when?
Well, most of it really begins in 1980. And that's when Donald Trump was still very young real estate developer. He was just having his first big success, the Grand Hyatt Hotel, which is right next to Grand Central Station here in New York. And like every hotel, he needed to get some TV sets, but where did he buy them? And this is sort of where my story begins, is he was buying them from an electronics store owned by Soviet emigres. And according to my sources, it was reporting to the KGB. This was a KGB front, in effect. So that transaction between Donald Trump and this little electronics store, it was on Fifth Avenue near the Flatiron Building. That was when the KGB opened the door to see if Donald Trump was an asset worth recruiting, was he worth cultivating, and so forth. And at the time, the Soviet Union was recruiting trying to get Americans everywhere, not just people with classified intelligence, but also influential businessmen. And that's one of the reasons they were going after Donald Trump.
Why would he have been, in looking at why they were interested in the first place, what made him a good asset?
Well, he was, you know, I interviewed a former KGB, a major in the KGB named Yuri Schmitz. And he said, well, Trump was ideal. He was a dream for someone trying to recruit a spy. He was enormously susceptible to flattery. He was narcissistic. He was vain. And he wasn't that smart. And he was greedy, too. He wanted money. And you start to see, as you said earlier, a lot of the Russian mafia, which is tied to Russian Soviet intelligence at the time, was laundering their money through Trump real estate. So Trump was making a lot of money here, and now they started to reach out and flatter him. They started to make him think he had a great mind for foreign policy, and they also sort of were dangling the bauble, a phony dangle, as it turns out, the idea of having a Trump Tower in Moscow right next to the Kremlin, and that sort of really suited his fancy.
Then what changed when he became president, in the sense of what were the relationships, how were they either strengthened or changed once he becomes the occupant of the Oval Office?
Well, obviously now he was on the world stage when once he becomes president. So everything takes place in plain sight. And I think a lot of people will remember that quote. Trump says, I could shoot someone in plain sight on Fifth Avenue and my base would stick with me. And that really is exactly what happened with regard to his relationships with the Russians, because from the very start, we saw him fire James Comey, who was investigating that. Bam, that took place right off the bat. There was the event not just a day or two afterwards when he met with Soviet officials in the Oval Office, and he explained to them that he got rid of that nut job, Comey. I mean, he's speaking to the Russians in their own language. In Helsinki, he was very close to, slavishly close to Vladimir Putin, and he clearly accepted Putin's intelligence over all the intelligence from our intelligence agencies, the CSA, the NSA, and all the others as well, the FBI. So he started doing foreign policy things that were very, very much in Russian interest and against American interest. Among them, he withdrew from Syria in 2017. That he abandoned our allies, who were the Kurds at that time. I show this in my book. And then he left the area to the Russians. Now, this is what was interesting is before this, Donald Trump Jr. had given a speech in Paris before a Paris think tank. And this will show you a little of how intelligence operations work sometimes. It turned out that all of this was perfectly legal, but it turns out that the think tank was really a front for Russian intelligence. And they passed to Donald Trump Jr. the talking points that the Russians wanted in terms of American foreign policy in the Middle East. And Donald Jr. passed that information to his father. And sure enough, a year later, his father implemented exactly those policies by withdrawing from Syria.
So how complicit was Donald Trump and the administration in this, in the sense of there's a difference between knowing what they want and giving it to them, or thinking you know what they want and giving it to them?
Well, you know, it's hard to tell exactly what's going on in Trump's mind. And I think one policy he's always lived by is he does things in plain sight, but he also doesn't ask questions. There's a legal doctrine known as intentional blindness or deliberate ignorance. And Trump seems to have practiced that much of his life. If you look at the money laundering, for example, that's how it works. I go back to 1984 in my previous book, House of Trump, and you see a Russian named David Bogdan go into Trump Tower. He plunks down $5 million and says, I want five condos. Well, Trump doesn't ask, where'd you get that money from or anything? He just turns a blind eye to it, and he does it repeatedly. He has as many as 1,300 transactions in which the beneficial owner is anonymous, and these are all cash transactions, and those are the two predicates for laundering money.
Craig Unger is our guest. The name of the new book is American Kompromat. Let us, for a moment, talk about Jeffrey Epstein, because he is a major character in your story.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people have written about Epstein as a sex trafficker, which, of course, he was. But I take a slightly different approach. And the word kompromat, which is in my title, is a Russian word. It means compromising material. And I think what Epstein did is he had basically a kompromat factory. Kompromat is a lot like extortion or blackmail. It means someone is holding something over you. And Jeffrey Epstein was essentially collecting the dirty little secrets of the most powerful and richest men in the world.
So what was the connection to Trump?
They were very, very close friends, and their friendship started around 1987. Which is kind of interesting, because that's when Trump first went to Moscow. So I believe that's when Trump was really being seduced by the KGB. He was being groomed. And in fact, in September of 1987, he produced an ad in the New York Times, Washington Post, and the Boston Globe, Trump did, and it had all these wacky foreign policy prescriptions about getting rid of NATO and so forth, and stopping our alliance with Japan. Well, this is exactly what Russia wanted, and Trump had just returned from Russia, and one of my sources, a former KGB agent, a major in the KGB named Yuri Svets, was in Moscow at the time at KGB headquarters, and the KGB put forth an internal memo celebrating the acquisition of a new Russian asset, and who was doing a propaganda exercise for them, an active measure. And this was Donald Trump and the ad he took out in the New York Times and Washington Post.
So former CIA Director Michael Morell has called Trump an unwitting agent of the Russians. How accurate do you think that description is?
Absolutely. I mean, the only question I have is how, whether he is witting or not. He was absolutely an asset for the Russians. The extent to which he knew that, again, he has, I mentioned that doctrine of deliberate ignorance or willful blindness. I think that's part of the way Trump operates, and I think he was using it with the Russians as well. He had to know that he was allied with Russia. Everyone he promoted was allied with Russia. He kept all his communications with Putin secretly. The Russians have access to those conversations. Americans don't, and that is compromise, and it's something they've been holding over Trump's head, I believe.
So where are we now with Trump out of office? How much of an asset is he still? And when you have the current president saying that the former president shouldn't even be getting security clearance because of his erratic nature, what should we read into that?
Well, we should read into it that in fact Trump was treasonous. He was an asset for the Russians. They're our adversaries. I think there's absolutely no question he should be denied access to the presidential daily bulletin and all of the other classified material that is normally given to former presidents. Trump didn't bother to read that material when he was president. Now he would just pass it on to Putin. And there's no question that he's lost almost all his value to Russia right now. But the battle will continue, and I think we absolutely have to get to the bottom of how this all happened. That's why I write the book. The American people have never gotten a full counterintelligence investigation. I believe we deserve one, and if we don't, it will happen again. And who knows who will follow Trump? I mean, we see QAnon seems very much alive and appears to have taken over the Republican Party, and that's very much as Putin wanted.
How much of this is Russia, and how much of it is Putin? I think that's an interesting question, too, right?
Right. Well, it's interesting because a lot of people are saying Putin is in jeopardy now. And, of course, one of the factors is the return of Navalny to Russia. He's in jail now. And if he stays in jail long, he could become a Nelson Mandela-like figure, a martyr who would, and maybe there'd be enough uprest that Putin would be out. Other people think that even more harsher forces may want to overthrow Putin, in which case they would go back to the kinds of relations, using Donald Trump and others. I don't think Donald Trump is the only person who's been compromised by Russia. If you look at the Republican Party, it continues to march lockstep with Trump, which is astounding even after his ouster. And they, one of the bottom lines in all this is Putin wanted to show that the American system of democracy was corrupt. And now, thanks to Trump's cooperation, at least 70 million Americans seem to believe that.
Was Russia / Putin happy or unhappy with the results of the election 2020?
I think they were very unhappy. And it's interesting. Russia has responded a lot to my to my book in a way that because any you know they have complete state control of the media there, and there have been three or four articles about it. And what's interesting is they don't deny anything I say about Trump's relationship with Russian intelligence. There's no denial whatsoever. They just end up saying that Trump is kind of useless. He was a disappointment as president. In fact, they got an awful lot out of it, I believe, and it's going to take a long time to clean up Trump's mess. So, as I say, I don't think Trump should get have any access whatsoever to the intelligence, to our secrets anymore.
Craig Unger's new book is American Kompromat, How the KGB Cultivated Donald Trump and Related Tales of Sex, Greed, Power, and Treachery. The book is published by Dutton. Craig Unger, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the new book is American Kompromat by Craig Unger. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.